I really believe prayer is something that we could use more of. The funny thing about prayer is that if you don't do it, it doesn't work. And prayer is something that I think we vitally need in our own personal lives. I know I need more of it, and it's something we're going to look at today. In regards to prayer and our theme verse, "Be still and know that I am God," what's great about prayer is that it's both being still and knowing God. We can do both in prayer. So we're going to look at God's sovereignty in prayer this morning. And I'm not going to get you to turn to our text verse yet, but what I want to say is that what's interesting about God's sovereignty is that He can allow us to make choices and ask things of Him and still retain His sovereignty. That He's so sovereign that He can allow us to make these choices and to ask things of Him, and yet all things work together for good and all things work together for His purpose. And if that, to me, is a sovereign God. In the thought of prayer and God's sovereignty, it's been said that asking God to do something is wrong. And that to attempt to thrust our will on God is to say He's not sovereign. This is a concept that does creep in, and some people may believe this, I'm not sure, but the problem with these thoughts, though, is that they take a few liberties. They are assuming a few different things. And the first thought there is that it completely ignores the truth that God has always given man a choice with this. And, you know, He also gives us a will of our own and desires of our own. And I think that God loves that He has a people that's unique and that can make their own choices. Now, the more we surrender to God, of course, the more our desires will become His, and hopefully our desires will line up with His desires, and the more we submit and surrender, we'll be more conformed, as it says, to the image of Christ, and desire good things for our life, and not just selfish things or things for ourselves. But you know, in regards to God allowing us to make our own choices, you know, the Bible says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." That's an instance of God allowing man to make their own choice. So, you know, some people say, "Well, no, God's sovereignty, you know, we really don't, our hands are tied. We have no choices. There's no point in praying. There's no point, you know, in hoping for anything, because God's just going to allow it to happen." Well, the Bible says, you know, even this instance, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." God has always given us a choice. The Bible says, "Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved." That's a choice, right? And that's also a choice that we can make in prayer. So Romans 10:9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, another choice. God has always given men a choice, even from the very beginning. We see in the garden in Genesis 2:17, the Bible says, "Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." We see there that even right from the very beginning, God gave us a choice to either obey Him or to not obey Him. Jesus told us to ask things of Him. Jesus wants us to ask things of Him. John 14:14 says, "If thou shalt ask anything in my name, I will give it," or "I will do it." We have been told, and you know, we've been told to ask things of Him, and it's clear that God wants us to pray to Him. God wants us to ask things of Him, and He even wants us to ask even our own desires. We're told that our Father desires to give us good things and good gifts. In Matthew 7:7, it says, "And it shall be given unto you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh and receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And what man is there of you whom I'm all tongue-tied here now. In verse 9 it says, of what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things unto them that ask? We see here that God really does desire to give good things to us. And God desires us, he wants us to ask him to give us good things. The Bible says in Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. So we see here clearly that it's not just that, we just need to throw everything to the wind and say, well, God's going to take care of it. That is true. God does take care of us. But at the same time, God wants to give us good things. And we need to be sure that, and remember that God gives us a choice. God gives us a choice to follow him. He gives us a choice to serve him. He gives us a choice to submit and be still to him. And in doing that, I think that we can find a true and right prayer life before God. Before we go any farther, I'd just like to bow and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, if we will. Dear God, we thank you for this day today, and we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and to see what you have to say about prayer. Lord, we thank you that it really is such a tremendous opportunity that we are allowed to speak to you, that we can come before you and ask things of you and even ask things perhaps that we need or even desire, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are a loving God, you are a caring God, and you want to give us things, and you want to help us, and you want to guide us, Lord. And we thank you that prayer is the instrument that can happen through. Lord, we pray now that as we look through your word, that you would just show us some truths here this morning about prayer. Father, I ask you that that we would each individually learn something in regards to prayer. Father, I know that I'm sure could pray more. I just ask you that you give us a burden for prayer here today, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What's interesting about prayer is it's the one thing that I can find in the Bible that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to do. The disciples in Luke 11:1 said, Lord, teach us to pray. They wanted to know how to pray. They didn't ask him, hey, teach us to go soul winning or teach us to preach or whatever. They said, teach us to pray. And I'm sure many of these other things that they learned by watching Jesus and following him. But specifically, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. It would be good for us to remember also that in regards to prayer, we're in a battle. And, this battle isn't something that we can just kick back and relax in. I know that in the end, we've already received the promise, and talking about yesterday, the promise of Jacob and the promise that we have that Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. That is fantastic, but God didn't save us just so that we could kick back and relax. And part of the battle, I believe, is prayer. And if the enemy can hinder the communication with our commander, we'll have our hands tied. And I don't know if I've said it here, but if there's one thing that Satan wants to do in each one of our lives, it's to make us ineffective for Christ. It's to make us ineffective. He knows that perhaps we're already saved. He knows that, he may not be able to get our soul, but if he can make us ineffective, then in his mind, he's won maybe a small battle. And if he can keep us from praying, then, well, I think, he's probably pretty proud of himself. I've said it before, prayer, to me, it seems, is the greatest untapped resource that we really have as Christians. There's so much tremendous power and things that we could see done in our church and in our personal lives if we would just really understand and grasp the power of prayer. I wonder sometimes, you know, God must just shake his head and say, oh, children, I want to give you so much. I want to do so much in your lives, but you have to ask me. And God wants to do things in our life. He wants to help us to grow and to flourish in our Christian lives, but we need to pray. We need to communicate with our commander. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the battle we face is a spiritual one. And one of the weapons God gives us is a spiritual weapon, and that's prayer. You know, it's like, it makes me think of, you know, perhaps, an army out on the battlefield, you know, and sometimes they have to make a call in to headquarters for backup. You know, they make a call in and say, hey, you know, we can't do this on our own. Now, that's something that we've learned this weekend, is that we cannot do this on our own. We need to get in contact with our commander, and we need to call for backup. We need to ask him to help us. The Bible says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. We need to be prepared. We need to use prayer as effectively as we can. Like I said before, you know, prayer doesn't work if you don't use it. You know, it's hard to have that relationship with God and to know God if we don't talk to him. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Number one, I'd like us to see here that we need to set a watch. We need to set a watch in our prayer lives. And I'm not talking about, you know, set your watch for 5 minutes and start praying. No, we need to set a watch. Let's turn to Nehemiah. Right before Esther, right after Ezra, Nehemiah chapter number 4, we're going to look at setting a watch. And as Christians, I believe that we can set a watch in our churches, in our personal lives, through prayer. The Bible says in Nehemiah 4 and verse 7. We'll read there through verse 9. And it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and had the breaches begin to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. I'll tell you one thing, is that Satan is trying to get into our lives and he's trying to hinder us. You know, there's so many things that, like I said, we're fighting a spiritual battle, and the enemy wants to hinder us. He wants to fight against us. He wants to stop the work that's going on here today, and he wants to hinder us. And the greatest thing I think we can do is pray, is to set a watch. It says that, nevertheless, we made our prayer. You know, nevertheless, you know, even though they were going to fight against us and try to come through our walls, we made our prayer unto God, it says, and set a watch against them day and night. And if something we could do is to not only, you know, pray 10 minutes a day or at meal times, but to have a real, genuine prayer life with God. Part of having a genuine relationship with God is to speak with him. Have you ever had a friend that, you know, you didn't speak to? It's hard to really know somebody if you don't talk with them. It's hard to say, oh yeah, that person's my friend, but, you know, we don't really talk that much, but they're my friend. No, we need to talk to God. We need to set a watch. We have an army before us that hates to see the walls of this church, you know, so to speak, growing up. It hates to see us fill the breaches and filling the gaps, you know, and starting new ministries and encouraging one another. It hates to see that. It loves to cause division. The enemy loves to see division in the church. It loves to see people getting discouraged in the church. But through prayer, we know that we can stop that. We can make sure that God keeps his hand on our lives and on this church by prayer. The Bible says, nevertheless, we made prayer. Christians, we need to set a watch today. There's a reason that Jesus said, watch and pray. He said, watch and pray. We need to be diligent. You know, prayer isn't just something that God wants us to do casually. Prayer gives us direct communication with Almighty God. Does that not get anybody excited here this morning? I mean, that's amazing. We can talk to Almighty God, the God that created heaven and earth, the God that saves us from our sins, and we say, oh yeah, you know, I pray once in a while. No, I mean, really, the Bible says we need to be pray without ceasing. We need to talk to God all the time. And part of being surrendered to God, being still and submitted under God, is having that constant walk with him, having that constant prayer life where we're sensitive to his leading and we have that communication, that line of communication open up with him all the time. There really shouldn't be a time in our lives where we just say, okay, this is when I pray. Or, you know, I pray at night before I go to bed. No, we need to keep that communication open with God all the time. Hey, there's, you know, it doesn't cost us anything. It's not like there's long distance fees. I mean, we can pray to God whenever we want. And that's amazing. I don't know about you, but I really like God, and I like what he's done for me. And if there's someone that you like, I mean, you want to talk to them as much as you can. We need to have a desire to talk to God. We need to set a watch. Jesus said that we ought to watch and to pray. You know, the enemy doesn't want this church here. He doesn't want us here right now. And if we're going to survive, we need to pray. We must pray. It's an absolute must that we pray. You know, we can't grow if we don't pray. We can't see God do things in our life if we don't pray. Daniel heard the threats of the wicked, but you know what? He prayed anyway. You know, and sometimes in our lives, we may get discouraged by different things, or I don't know if we'll get to the place where Daniel was, where people were threatening him because he was praying. But you know what? He prayed anyways. And number two, I'd like to point out that we need to pray anyway. No matter, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm at work or I've got something to do. No, we can pray while we work. We can talk to God anytime. We can talk to God while we're at school, while we're taking a test, while we're working on something. God wants to talk to us. Remember, the whole reason that God sent his son to die for us is so that he could mend that relationship that was broken in the garden. God has a tremendous desire to fellowship with us, to talk with us. And that's why prayer is so important. And I think that prayer is so close to God's heart because he sent his only begotten son into this world so that he could mend that relationship with us. Not just so that we could gain something from it, but because he is a sovereign God and he deserves our prayer. He deserves our fellowship with him. He deserves us asking him, hey, Lord, what do you think I should do here? Or hey, should I talk to that person about you? Or, you know, God desires us to fellowship, commune with him and talk to him. In Daniel 6:10, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows began being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. I like that. You know what? Nothing stopped David and nothing stopped Daniel. He says he did it just as he did every other day. You know, he got down and he prayed. He wasn't hindered by the fact that, you know, these men were threatening him because he was praying. Daniel was unchanging in his prayer. He was humble in his prayer. He was often in his prayer, and he was thankful in his prayer. When we pray, things happen. When we pray, things happen. Number three, Psalms 145, the Bible says in verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him." Do you get that? It reminds me of James 4, where it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you." Hey, God wants to be close to us. He wants that relationship with us. But if we don't pray, how will he know that we want him? How will he know that we want him in our lives to work and to change us and to mold us into his image? In the first century church, we see that in Acts 4:31, the Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." I'll tell you what, that's one thing that's exciting about prayer is, you know, in the first century church, they prayed and God gave them boldness. They spake the word of God. They spake the gospel with boldness. And if there's something that I know I need more of, is that we would have boldness in preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And that's something that the first century church did. And you know what? It's interesting that they just didn't jump out and start telling people about what they were all about. No, they stopped. And it's almost like they had a be still moment right there where they stopped in that upper room and they prayed to God and they waited for him. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they were able to go out and do God's work and be successful through the power of God. In James 5:13 through 18, we need to turn there because it's a bit of a longer passage. James chapter number 5. Hope you don't mind me just reading the smaller passages out aloud without turning there. Getting all excited here. I need to find my place. James 5, verse 13. The Bible says this: "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing a song. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another." There's a good idea. "That ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What's amazing here is we see that they knew how to pray. You know, wouldn't it be so amazing if we as a group of Christians here today would say, brother so-and-so is sick, let's pray for him. Or, you know, instead of, you know, hey, would you like a cough drop, you know? Why don't we try praying for him? Or you know, different times here we see that, you know, we need to pray for our brethren, and that we need to resort to prayer first rather than just perhaps what we can do, what we think what we can do. I mean, how flattered would God be if you know, the next time we run into a problem in our life, we just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to pray. And I think it would be wise for us to train ourselves to be in that line of thinking that next time we perhaps get sick or next time, you know, we run into a serious problem in our life, if we said, oh, hey, God, could you help me with this? And I mean, sometimes I think that we just get so busy with the stuff of life that we forget that God is right there. The God that, you know, we say, oh man, you know, I'm having trouble with this cough. God created our body. Do you think he could not take care of a cough? Or do you think he could not help us with something? And I tell you what, God wants to help us with things. We can pray to him. He is ready to receive our prayers. In Acts 4, oh no, I already read that one. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We need to continue in prayer. This is the reason we need to pray is because the Bible says we need to continue in prayer with thanksgiving. Next, we see, what should we be praying for? You know, that's another question. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'd love to have a prayer life, but I mean, it seems like a really big thing. You know, after about 3 minutes, I've prayed for all my relatives and everybody I know, and then what do you do? Well, here's some thoughts. What should we be praying for? We need to pray for witnessing opportunities. I'll tell you what, if there's one thing as a Christian that God wants us to do is witness. I mean, he commanded us and he's asked us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I mean, that's not just something you do when you're here at church or in a soul winning program, but you know, we're not just part-time Christians. You know, God wants us to share our faith wherever we are. And I'll tell you what, you know, I was talking to a brother here, you know, last night, and we were saying, boy, it's so amazing that we can share our faith at work or just when we're out and about at the grocery store, post office, anywhere. I mean, we can share our faith wherever we go. You know, and you know, we ought not to be ashamed of it. Paul says, you know, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, if you're excited about being saved, I mean, there shouldn't be any reason that you shouldn't want to share your faith. I mean, we were bound for hell, and God has given us life. We were sinners, and he's made us pure. And just the fact, it may be a selfish one, but that he took that weight of guilt and sin and just cast it away, that we can have peace. The peace that passes all understanding, and that's amazing. We should want to have witnessing opportunities. Charles Spurgeon said this, winners of souls must be first weepers of souls. And I'll say one thing, you know, there's men that I work with back in Labrador, and they need God. There's people perhaps at work that you work with or in your community that you see day to day, they need God. Someone said, you know, God doesn't answer prayer, he answers desperate prayer. And if there's something maybe I think we could use a little more here in my life and maybe in your lives, is desperate prayer. The whole idea of prayer, or you know, the Bible, we use the word beseech. It means to plead and to beg. You know, not just something casual. Hey, God, you know, maybe you could give me an opportunity. And I know we do that sometimes, and he still answers those prayers, but we look in the Bible, and you know, men would get down on their face. Men would get down and get serious and cry out loud and weep and ask God, please save my you know, my parents, or save my siblings that aren't saved or wandering from God. God wants us to weep and beg him. God wants us to plead with him. You know, thinking of, I think the Bible uses the illustration of you know, a mother, you know, in labor. You know, it's not something easy. And if we're going to labor in prayer, you know, and produce fruit, to see new baby believers, it takes work. It takes us submitting ourselves to God, yes, but we need to pray, and we need to weep and ask God. Pray for others and don't stop. I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes it's too easy to, you know, if there's one thing I think that we are is just inconsistent. And I mean, it's not only us. I mean, you look at the Jews, you look at different people and groups in the Bible, and I mean, they're kind of flaky. You know, they're at one point, you know, excited for God and worshiping God, and like, you turn the Bible page and the very next page, you know, they're worshiping idols and they've forgotten all about prayer. And if there's one thing we need to do is pray for others and pray for needs of the church and others, and don't stop. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to persevere. We need to perhaps keep a prayer list or a prayer journal and pray through it and make sure it doesn't gather dust, you know. We need to persevere in prayer. We need to pray for laborers. Matthew 9:38, you know, says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. I'll tell you, there's one thing, I keep saying that, but what we need is more laborers in the harvest. You know, I've told somebody the other day, you know, there definitely isn't a lack of preachers and missionaries in this world. There is a lack, sorry. There isn't an abundance of missionaries. We've got a lot of them, and you know, we're trying to reach out and serve God and start new churches in many places. But hey, you know, time is getting short. Time is getting very short, and we need laborers in the harvest. And God even specifically wrote it in his word and said, hey, make sure you pray that people would be sent into the harvest. God wants us, you know, to ask that God would send more laborers into harvest. Now, if that's the case, I mean, we don't need to just, oh, you know, God will send the right people out, you know, in his timing, and that's true. No, the Bible says, hey, God wants us to pray and ask him to send more laborers into harvest, to burden people for the lost souls that are dying and go to hell. We need to pray that God would send more laborers, more preachers, more missionaries into the harvest to reap those souls. And I mean, that's one thing, but even the people in the church here, you can labor and you can reap the harvest here in your community as well. And we need to pray that God would send more laborers into his harvest. We need to pray for your brethren in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. We also need to pray for our enemies in Luke 6:28, the Bible says, pray for your enemies. That's not always an easy one, is it? You know, we like to pray for the people we like. But God says, no, I don't want you to just do that. That's easy. He says, I want you to pray for those people that don't like you, for those people that use you, for those people that stab you in the back and try to get away with it, you know. And if we're going to have, if we're going to be conformable to Christ and submit ourselves to God and to be still, we'll realize that, hey, you know what? That person has a soul. That person needs Christ. And hey, maybe they're even believers here in the church. You know what? Just because, you know, you may not get along or things, you may not see eye to eye on some things, we need to pray for them. We need to remember that, hey, we're not enemies. We're on the same side. And that we can help and encourage one another. Just because you don't agree with somebody on something doesn't mean you just need to write them off. Perhaps they need encouragement. Perhaps they've been having a rough week. We as believers need to stick together. You know, there really isn't a lot of us. We need to encourage each other. We need to pray for each other. How do we pray? We need to pray in the Spirit, Romans 8:28 says. And I'll just share a few more scriptures with you. We also need to pray in the spirit of humility, Matthew 6:5, if you're writing it down. Also, we need to pray through the Spirit. Ephesians 2:8 says this, For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access to God through the Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit. And in order to pray in the Spirit, we have to be walking in the Spirit. And if we're going to be walking the Spirit, we need to have sin purged out of our life, and we need to be walking in him, submitted to him. See, I'm not talking about prayer or, you know, just selfish prayer and trying to get all what we want, but if we're truly submitted to God, we're going to want the things that he wants for our lives. And I think you understand that today. Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what's amazing is sometimes we think, oh, you know, I have a hard time praying sometimes, and I do too. I really do. And sometimes it's hard to really know what to say. Or, you know, maybe we stumble on our words, or maybe, you know, we just don't sound that eloquent or whatever. And I mean, that's not what we should aim for at all. But, you know, the Bible says that the Spirit helps our infirmities. It helps, you know, when we don't even know what to say. And sometimes prayer doesn't even have to be audible. You know, God can hear the prayer of our heart. God sees the desires of our heart. We also need to pray with boldness. Hebrews 10:19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So if you kind of go backwards through that verse, you see that it's because of the blood of Jesus that we can have boldness. Because he has saved us from our sins and cleansed us and made us whole, we can have boldness. We can ask God things. We can enter into the holiest. Also, Hebrews 4:6 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Remember, yesterday we were talking about how that God is our present help in time of need. He's our present help, and it says here that we can obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. I mean, God I don't want to sound trite, but he's a prayer away. He's right there. God wants to talk to us. He wants to be that present help in time of need. But it says here in Hebrews that we can obtain that by boldly coming before his throne of grace. When to pray? We need to pray all the time. The Bible, you know, it says pray without ceasing. Looking at prayer this morning, we can see that through God's, we need to pray and understand God's sovereignty, but, you know, we understand that he has given us a choice. We said yesterday, you know, God has a specific promise that, you know, an end goal that he has for our lives. It's really up to us which road we take. We can take our selfish, stubborn-headed road, or we can be submissive and follow his road to the end goal he has in our lives. We are in a battle, and we need to stay close in contact with our commander. You know, he has plans for our lives. He wants to help us in our lives, but we have to stay in contact with him. We need to humble ourselves and pray, but we can also pray in boldness because of what he's done for us. We can understand that God has saved us, and we can boldly ask for help and for mercy and for grace. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not equip us for the greater work, but it is the greater work. And I think when we really grasp that, hey, you know what? It's prayer. Because when we look back, and I know we're short on time, but when we look back at what we've learned over this weekend about how it's not us, we can't do it, we can't build this church, we can't have a successful Christian life, we can't even be Christians without the power of God. So if that's the case, if we can't do anything without God, we need to understand that in order to do the work, prayer is it. Be in contact with God. You know, we can go out and knock 50,000 doors and try to get people to come out to church, but if God is not in it, I mean, it's a waste of time. But we could get down on our faces and plead with God and ask him to send the right people across our path and to burden them of their need for a Savior, and you know what? God can do it. I'm not saying that we need to be lazy, but what I'm saying is we need to be conscious of our need for prayer. We need to be conscious and realize that God wants to do the work. But we need to pray. We need to ask him to do the work. God wants us to pray. Satan hates us to pray. The world needs us to pray. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time that we can just have a bit of a time and look at what it means to pray and to understand your sovereignty in prayer. Lord, I pray that as we go into the rest of this day, Lord, and the next service, that you would truly open our hearts, Lord, to receive the truths that you have for us. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we have to pray. Lord, I pray that as we go out into this week, that we wouldn't forget to pray. That we would keep those lines of communication open between you and us. And that we would realize and that you would show us the change in our life just through keeping in contact with you, Lord. I know it will affect our daily life, Lord, if we remember to pray, if we remember to keep that communication open with you. Help us to remember, Lord. Give us the perseverance to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.